Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com. It is Saturday, January the 30th, 2021, and I have the honor to have three professors on with me. I have Professor James Fetzer, I have Professor Paul, Professor Joe. Now, subject matter today is, Joe and I had a private conversation last night, again today, but I want him to pick it up and explain what we're going to talk about. One is George Washington's vision, which fits in with times now. And the second thing is about ATM machines not working around the country. Go ahead, Paul. Joe, would you start, please?
All right. This came off another program. I won't mention any names. But the George Washington had a vision. And it was a future disposition of what would happen to the United States far into the future. Now, when we get to part of this, Paul is going to take about 2 or 3 minutes and read the Washington vision, because it's not very long. It's very short. So there was the individual that brought this forward was alluding to Paul Revere's ride. The redcoats are coming, the redcoats are coming, the redcoats are coming. But then he said, I want to modify this. I'm going to say the white coats are coming, the white coats are coming, the white coats are coming. And he said, what I'm alluding to is, instead of the British in their redcoats, we have doctors in their schmucks with a syringe in their hand to administer the COVID vaccine. And we now know what the COVID vaccine does. In fact, it causes your body to produce proteins. These proteins awaken your immune system. Your immune system attacks the proteins and it ravages your bodily organs. That's what Hank Aaron died of. So I think at this point, I want to go back and cover the Washington vision. And so, Paul, if you don't mind, take it about 5 minutes and read it.
I will. And thank you, guys. Please hit your mute on your sound so that if I choke here reading unfamiliar prose, I only have myself to thank. All right, here we go. George Washington's vision. This afternoon, as I was sitting at this table engaged in preparing a dispatch, something seemed to disturb me. Looking up, I beheld standing opposite me a singularly beautiful female. So astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed, that it was in some moments before I found the language to inquire the cause of her presence. A second, a third, and even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from my mysterious visitor except a slight raising of her eyes. By this time, I felt strange sensations spreading through me. I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. I essayed once more to address her, but my tongue and had become useless, as though it had become paralyzed. A new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took possession of me. All I could do was gaze steadily, vacantly, at my unknown visitor. Gradually, the surrounding atmosphere seemed as if it had become filled with sensations and luminous. Everything about me seemed rarefied. The mysterious visitor herself became more airy and yet more distinct to my sight than before. I now began to feel as one dying, or rather, to experience the sensations which I have sometimes imagined accompanying dissolution. I did not think, I did not reason, I did not move. All were alike impossible. I was only conscious of gazing fixedly, vacantly at my companion. Presently, I heard a voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." While at the same time my visitor extended her arm eastwardly, I now beheld a heavy white vapor at some distance rising fold upon fold. This gradually dissipated, and I looked upon a stranger scene. Before me lay out in one vast plain all the countries of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. I saw rolling and tossing between Europe and America, the billows of the Atlantic, and between Asia and America lay the Pacific. "Son of the Republic," said the mysterious voices before, "look and learn." At that moment, I beheld a dark and shadowy figure like an angel standing, or rather floating in midair between Europe and America. Dipping water out of the ocean in the hollow of each hand, he sprinkled some upon America with his right hand, while with his left hand he cast some on Europe. Immediately, a cloud raised from these countries and joined in mid-ocean. for a while it remained stationary and then moved slowly westward until it enveloped America in its murky folds. Sharp flashes of lightning gleamed, though at intervals, and I had the smothered groans. I heard the smothered groans and cries of the American people. A second time, the angel dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it out as before. The dark cloud was then drawn back to the ocean. In those heaving billows, in sank from view. A third time, I heard a mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." I cast my eyes upon America and beheld villages and towns and cities springing up one after another until the whole land from the Atlantic to the Pacific was dotted with them. Again, I heard a mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, the end of the century cometh, look and learn." At this dark, shadowy angel turned his face southward, and from Africa I saw an ill-omened specter approach our land. It fitted slowly over every town and city of the latter. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle array against each other. As I continued looking, I saw a bright angel on whose brow rested a crown of light on which was traced the word Union, bearing the American flag, which he placed between the divided nation and said, quotations, "Remember ye our brethren." Instantly, the inhabitants, casting from their weapons, became friends once more and united around the national standard. And again I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At this, the dark shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts, and taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa. Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. For each of these countries arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one. Throughout this mass, there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men who, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America. Our country was enveloped in this volume of cloud, and I saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities that I beheld springing up. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of the sword, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I heard again the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." When the voice had ceased, the dark shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. Instantly, a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union, and who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other, descended from the heavens, attended by legions of white spirits. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who, I perceived, will nigh overcome, but who immediately, taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Again, the fearful noise of the conflict. I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." As the voice ceased, a shadowy angel for the last time dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Then once more, I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I'd seen them before, while the bright angel planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them cried with a loud voice, "While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Union last." And taking from his brow the crown on which blazoned the word Union, he placed upon the standard, while the people kneeling down said Amen. The scene instantly began to fade and dissolve, and at last saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor I first beheld. This also disappearing, I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor, who, in the same voice I had heard before, said, son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful is the third. But in this greatest conflict, the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, spelling, his land, and the Union. With these words, the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein had been shown to me the birth, progress, and destiny of the United States. There you go, guys.
All right, now notice the third vision, which says a red light. Red is associated with the Bolsheviks, and that is what China Joe is. He's a Bolshevik. Shumnan, he's a Bolshevik. All of those guys, Billy Crystal and all of those guys, they're all Trotskyites. Now, they have now risen to power, and they hold the seat, supposedly. Now, this is where Jim came in and said some very interesting things that is in connection with this, and it was at the end of the talk, Jim, and you said something about what I would call the underground army, the underground military. Can you remember that, Jim?
Well, I'm not sure it's so underground, but General McInerney and a number of other sources have confirmed that Donald Trump was approached by 200 generals who were in despair over the degree of corruption that had overwhelmed Washington and especially the White House, and that the Donald asked, couldn't we simply arrest them all now? They undertook a research and discovered it would involve some 70% of the bureaucracy and the government would collapse, and therefore they needed to adopt a longer game plan with Trump, supporting Trump to become the president and to work out a master plan to net the pedophiles and other criminals in Washington, D.C., where that number 70% resonated with me, because when I interviewed Jim Rothstein, an NYPD Gold Shield detective who'd cracked many pedophile cases in the city, only to have them quashed by the DA on political grounds, and who's one of the leading experts in the nation on pedophilia. When I shared with him some of the contents that was being leaked about the Anthony Weiner laptop, for which he may have already had knowledge, and asked if he were surprised, he said to me, no, not at all, because based upon his experience, 70% of the political elite in the United States is engaged in pedophilia. So I believe this is part and parcel. I also may have mentioned that among the revelations directly involving Barack Obama emerged when Julian Assange published the emails from the DNC server, and it turned out that Barack Obama had spent $35,000 of taxpayer money to fly hot dogs and pizza in from Chicago for a private party at the White House, which of course is anomalous on its face, because in the first place, the White House won't take outside food to avoid the risk of poisoning. In the second place, if this were real hot dogs and pizza, they'd be soggy and inedible by the time you got them from Chicago to Washington. But where, in the third place, most importantly in the language of pedo talk, hot dogs are little boys, pizza little girls. So Barack Obama was spending $35,000 in taxpayer money to fly little boys and little girls in from Chicago to the White House for a private party, which is about as repulsive as it gets.
Now, I want to add something here. Jim Rothstein, if I can, real quick. Jim Rothstein, great guy. I know him. He's a friend of yours, friend of mine. I've had him on. And he was the one that busted him on the Finders, what's known as the Finders. If you punch it in the internet, I've got it on my site as well, in the search box. Now, He was the one that busted the ring, which was a CIA ring, a blackmail. We're using congressmen, or against congressmen, senators, foreign dignitaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anybody that wanted blackmail. Now, he busted them. Some guy comes along, claiming fame, named ex-FBI, kicked out of the FBI, Ted Gunderson, now working for FBI 5, a little troll stooge, like the Alex Jones troll stooge, one of Gunderson's good buddies that tried to smash me. I just thought I'd throw that out there. We have all these stooges giving disinformation all the time. Gunderson was claiming fame. Here it was Rothstein. I respect him highly. He's a mayor of, what is it, Cloud, up there in Minnesota. And he stands up for the Constitution. And they've tried to murder him so many times, they're picking on him now. But Alex Jones tried to play the little stooge to screw up Professor James Fetzer exposing Sandy Hook. And we've talked about it in previous shows, but I just thought I'd throw that out there because it deserved it. With that said, Joel, would you pick it back up, please?
Okay, now Jim mentioned something that that in his, towards the end of yesterday's show, he mentioned how the Capitol is empty, how the White House is empty. What's going on here? Can you remember what you were saying about that, Jim?
Yeah, sure, the Capitol's in darkness. I got photographs. It's not, there are no lights there. It appears Biden was locked out of the White House when he sought to make an entry, that he's been instructed he may not set foot on Pentagon property by the generals. And, you know, the scenes we have of him signing these executive actions or executive orders appear to be on a sound stage, where there are multiple indications the curtains are wrong, the flags are wrong. I had a conversation this morning, by the way, with a woman who had visited the White House years ago and was observing how everything about the White House was immaculate, and that she was struck by these scenes from inside what was supposed to be inside the Oval Office, because the flags were wrinkled, the carpet didn't look right, that she felt it was not the White House. And I believe she's 100% correct. I have a friend who used to be a stuntman in Hollywood, who has reported to me how he knew of at least two Oval Office sets in Hollywood, and there appears to be yet another in the UK. So this is quite an elaborate charade. We also discussed the faking of the inauguration, where we have proof that it was pre-recorded, and it even involved multiple takes, because you have parties that are moving around during what ought to be a continuous event in ways that are inexplicable. And indeed, I reported that I'd observed that it was taking place too early to be legitimate. It can't take place prior to noon because the previous administration's term of office will not expire until noon. And yet when I was watching, it was 10 to 15 minutes early, which said to me, this can't be legitimate. Well, my party said she was checking and she found it was being broadcast at different times on different networks. So this whole thing is a sham. I had the report of no one having seen the fireworks that were so spectacular at the end of the inauguration in Washington, D.C., and another report of someone who's spoken with 50 persons who reside in Washington, and none of them witnessed the inauguration or the fireworks.
I think, Jim, it's very significant about what you're saying concerning that Biden cannot step in to the Pentagon. Could you comment on that a little further?
Well, I can only give you, you know, the distillation of the reports I'm doing from multiple sources, but the generals who recruited Trump appear to be in charge now, that he appears to have signed or executed the Insurrection Act on the 9th of January. It would be a Saturday. I was even given the specific time when he signed it. And because we were already in a state of emergency, that the generals are now in charge, which is consistent with the latest reports I have from Washington, D.C., where I sent two photographs of structures that are being erected by the military adjacent to the Capitol. You can see them on Google Earth. The only reasonable explanation for which is the conduct of military tribunals for those that they are going to arrest and try in Washington, D.C.
If I can add that real quick. Now, Scott Bennett, you know, he was a former lieutenant, Army Intelligence, working the same building with Snowden. Snowden blew the whistle. They attacked everybody, arrested him. Long story. But Scott's a friend. He's a friend of Jim Fetzer's as well. Now, I'm aware of testimony that's been given by him without speaking no more to a military and civilian tribunal, should we say, a while back. Now, he shares the same attorney as General Flynn, who was a good friend of a super spook buddy of mine, Otis Johnson. Now, there's a recording of Otis Johnson that I put up, the only one I ever made of him, because they were trying to kill me. And it had to do with a guy that was associated with fucking Alex Jones at the time, was seen around me quite often. Go in and listen to it. It's only 18 minutes. But he had a hit on him because they were poking him with satellite, with sonar, and he had told me in previous conversations. So I decided to record it for my protection. I figured they were going to get him at the same time. But he talks about flying out to Bluffdale again. Well, the first time he flew out to Bluffdale, I put him on an airplane. I forgot what year it was. I remodeled his house and remodeled the house he got down the street, you know, where he can make 50 grand in 6 to 9 months type deal, all material, paid. Anyway, he got me, it was one of those two periods of time. But I put him on an airplane in Grand Island with General Flynn. I saw Flynn because he got it. He said, just stay in the car and drive off. I said, okay. So as soon as he got his bag out, he walks over to the bottom of the stairs and he salutes the general that comes out. It's General Flynn. I recognize him. Flynn salutes me. I salute him back. I drove off. Then the next time I took him out, he flew to Bluffdale that time. It told me 6 stories below ground, artificial intelligence beyond computers. And he said they got an alien base hooked up on the south side, Stu. He says they're connecting to it. And it runs all the way down to, I went past the town and went through it a few times, down to I-70. Here's the point. General Flynn and Scott Bennett's attorney is Sidney Powell. Now, I heard she was President Trump at the time, signed an executive order giving her a position as Assistant Attorney General of the United States with full power to investigate and prosecute election fraud of 2 elections and any further back, plus other crimes. Now, I don't know whether it's true or not, but a spook told me that she had the same power with the military as she does on the civilian side. And he also told me in a separate conversation that confirms what you're saying about us being on red alert, as he said. He called me up and let me know we were on red alert, which means we're under martial law because the nukes are lit up. Anyway, with that said, pick it up, Joe.
Let me interrupt and comment on this. Patrick Byrne, who was present, said that on Friday night, Sidney Powell was there, and Mark Meadows, and Pat Cipollone, and that Trump was contemplating appointing Sidney Powell as a special counsel to investigate election fraud. And Mark Meadows and Pat Cipollone were opposing it. And when Trump further pressed, Pat Cipollone said, well, you really don't need me. You don't even need a piece of paper. You can just do it. You can just say it. And Trump came back and said, well, I've given this thought, and I hereby appoint Sidney Powell to be a special counsel to investigate election fraud. When Sidney sought to follow up, she was told by Mark Meadows she couldn't meet with the president, and she then said, well, could I, you know, she wanted an office, and he hemmed and hawed and said, I don't think we can do that. And then she wanted to have a pass to get into the White House. He hemmed and hawed and said, I don't think we can do that. Well, it's very clear that Mark Meadows and Pat Cipollone were not working on behalf of the president. Indeed, we have other reports that they were encouraging the staff members with whom they were dealing to tell the president he should simply concede the election, which, of course, he was unwilling to do, but puts them very high on my list for insiders who were betraying the president.
So, Jim, so Sidney never got her office, right?
No, she did not, yes.
Because that would be significant, because that would give her a grip on the environment and a position of authority.
Here's what else is important about this. Sidney Powell is the only attorney involved in these matters who's qualified to conduct military tribunals. She has that qualification that is not common.
So then there is not the executive order making her that position of a special prosecutor, assistant prosecutor.
No, but I assume Cipollone is right that just by saying it, he does it.
Okay.
But it's very clear that Mark Meadows and Cipollone were not going to go along with it, even if the president were declaring it to be the case, that they were balking. And I think they've done this throughout. And I'd be willing to bet a large sum of money that they blocked all kinds of information from the president that would have been useful in exposing the election fraud. I see them as traitors, not only to the president, but to the United States.
Now, I'm going to add to this. Now, Sidney Powell, because she is qualified and has been a prosecutor for the military, maybe under martial law, he just appointed her over there.
Yeah, she could conduct these, if we are, I mean, we got these photographs going up, you know, these structures at the Capitol by the military. We have all the fence, which is, you know, really substantial fencing. You know, there's a bit of genius involved here in putting up all the fencing, which the Congress thought was for their protection, but which may indeed have the opposite purpose of serving as detention facilities when they themselves are arrested and taken into custody. It seems to me we're talking about a scenario where Sidney might potentially play a major role in conducting the prosecutions, and it seems to me that all fits together pretty well.
That kind of is my opinion of it. If it's all real, that's it. Sidney would be sitting over there. Now, Joe, go ahead and pick it up.
Yeah. Now, there is, I'm going to be the devil's advocate on this because of a certain source that I have. They've already begun arrests of those people who entered into the Capitol building. So maybe those structures are for those tribunal courts are for those people. I'm not saying that it is, but it might be.
No, I don't think so. In fact, there's so many that they are already ruling that only the number who actually did damage to the Capitol are going to be prosecuted, so they don't overwhelm the courts. No, I do not believe that. That's just routine stuff. That's like trespassing and vandalism. It would not warrant. Not only that, but those who would benefit would be the bad guys, and they don't have control of the military. So I think that's wrong. I mean, it's not stupid to raise the possibility, but I do not think it's justifiable on the basis of the evidence.
No, I don't think so either. Oh, by the way,
what you're saying is that these structures that are going up really can't be for the prosecution of those people who did those things in entering the Capitol, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it would be, it's much,
that's a good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah. Well, this is extraordinary that this should be happening, and that the offenses of which they're guilty are trivial. Nothing really unusual or out of the ordinary for the courts to handle. It's simply the numerousness of the parties that are ostensibly involved that they're going to minimize anyone who wasn't actually committing a form of vandalism on the Capitol. So if it's merely trespass and so forth, they're just going to get a free ride. They're going to be released without, you know, penalty.
Let me tell you something about how the military operates, and Jim can confirm because we were both in the Marine Corps. Now, he was a captain in the Marine Corps, and I was a Lance Corporal when I got out. I was in the reserves, 4th Marine Division. We answered to a colonel. We had a captain that ran our division. I was 0151. I took care of the records. I called everybody up from different divisions, make them sign papers every weekend, etc. We got activated twice. Martial law. Calling me up at 3:30 in the morning, get your ass down here, Webb. Bam, I had to be down there. And I got cussed out because I took a shower before I went down to work for the morning. And I'm going, oh, fuck. Calling everybody up, activating them. Because we were under martial law. We got activated. They're going to activate us and send us in their first strike with everybody else. And I guarantee you, it went on twice. And the public never knew it. Jim, you have any comment about that?
No, I think you're correctly reporting on your experience.
But the public never knew it.
Extraordinary times. I mean, you know, there's so much going on now. I am very confident that, in fact, the good guys are in control, that the military is in control, and that it was very important to that Trump not be involved in all of these cleanup efforts, because otherwise he'd be demonized as a dictator who is exercising his power to, you know, arrest his political enemies, very much on the order of a Hitler or a Stalin. So it's important he'd be on the sidelines down in Mar-a-Lago relaxing. But I may have mentioned yesterday when he was asked by a photographer there as he was leaving the 18th green, he said to Trump, thank you, Mr. President, for your service. And as Trump got into his golf cars, he said, we're not done yet.
I think it's very important about what you said, because it does, particularly the signing of the Insurrection Act, enacting it 1 minute before midnight. I think that's a very significant point and gives a strong possibility that the military is in control.
Well, the actual signing of the Insurrection Act took place earlier. What happened 1 minute before, that was, I think, on the 9th of January. If that was a Saturday, let me take a quick look. Yes, the 9th of January, and I was even given a specific time. What happened at a minute before midnight on the 19th was the expiration of the corporation and transfer to the Republic of the United States. So that meant that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were inaugurated as the president and vice president of a defunct corporation.
Yes.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Audience, would you explain to them the importance of the concept of Washington, D.C. incorporated?
Well, it's not really, as I understand it, it's not just Washington, D.C., but that in 1871, the United States had gone bankrupt over the Civil War. Ulysses S. Grant was in office and negotiated with European bankers, including Rothschilds in the U.K., for financial relief, and that they agreed to do so provided the United States were converted into a corporation as a legal entity, and that they proceeded on that basis. And until now, until 2359, a minute before midnight on the 19th, the corporation has remained in existence. But where Trump filed papers in London 18 months before to dissolve the corporation and have its assets transferred to the Republic, which I take it now has come to pass. So it was a separate issue of signing the Insurrection Act on the 9th, but where the nation was remaining in a state of emergency that granted the president a lot of extraordinary powers in any case, and where, you know, the executive order he signed on 12 September 2018 about having the ability to go after foreign actors who interfered with our election, means that he can take possession of the assets of Dominion, which is based in Canada, and prosecute its personnel, of CIDL, which is the tabulator based in Spain, where even Italy turned out to be complicit. This was a late-breaking development in understanding how the theft of the election had been engineered, because they were using technically Vatican-owned satellites named after Leonardo da Vinci to manipulate the vote, and where, as a part of a compromise with Italy, lest the scandal not bring down the Italian government, they agreed to prosecute the perps, and they have an affidavit from the IT guy who is running the shop. So I think they've got all their ducks in a row.
Well, what you have said here, Jim, I hope the audience is catching on to this, because what Jim is saying is absolutely a very powerful statement, because that is the way that the adversary has gotten away with what they've gotten away with because of the corporation.
Now, Dominion voting machines, I investigated because someone tipped me off, a spook, said go look at Brownstein, he incorporated it. I go and look at it. I pulled up Colorado Secretary of State's office, and it's all there, Dominion Voting Systems, Inc. And it was it was a Delaware corporation jurisdiction, and it was principal address was 1201 18th Street, Suite 210, Denver, Colorado, Norman Brownstein. And the name registered agent is spelled COGENCY Global Inc., 7700 East Arapahoe, Suite 220, Centennial, Colorado, 80112. And that's the same address my ex-witch doctor's father, Leonard Millman, owned the building and had a lot of fraudulent companies going out of. But I just thought I'd bring that to everybody's attention. And it says Corporation Service Company, 1900 West Littleton Boulevard, Littleton, Colorado, 80120. I'll try to get that report up, but it ended up running back to who's in control of that now. It went back to an address, which I tracked down, and it goes to the Walton Family Trusts. Walton Family is Sam Walton, Walmart's, etc., and they were all involved in Iran-Contra drugs, with the one that incorporated Norman Brownstein, who's an APEC director, one of Daddy Bush's CI counsel, which was on the board of directors with Silverado Savings and Neil Bush, because I caused the scandal. Enough said, it goes right back there. Now, he has just recently filed suit against Giuliani. Now, Giuliani's a 911 cover-up meister that somehow or another Trump got sucked into, and that bastard deserves jail. But they're doing it, I think, the same thing to Giuliani to get to Sidney Powell or whatever else they included in the suit, in order to bring him down in the same manner that they are trying to do here with Jim Fetzer and his bullshitter over here, Alex Jones, pulled on him, and what the courts are doing to him. It's just something I see as two scenes the same way. With that said, go ahead, Paul or Joe or Jim.
Well, I think Jim has really brought some very important points that really need to be expanded on further shows, because when Biden cannot set foot in the Pentagon, that's significant. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, and in addition, they're not providing him with military aircraft. I mean, it's interesting that he's now coming under criticism, even in the mainstream media. I have an article right here on the front page of the Wisconsin Journal. Biden faces growing scrutiny, chided for fast pace of executive orders, because he's doing so much so quickly using executive orders rather than the normal legislative process. Many of the moves he's making being highly provocative, including canceling the XL pipeline, freeing any illegal immigrants who've been arrested, no matter how serious their crimes. And of course, this transgender ruling to allow boys and young men who identify as girls into women's or girls' lockers and showers. I mean, this is, and it's going to destroy women's sports. It appears that the perverts at the top, who will include Barack Obama and Michelle, who, for those who are unaware, was born Michael LeVon Robinson. We have photographs of Barack and Michael together. She has a conventional man's chest. We learned from a doctor who attended her during a campaign, walked into her in a trailer in Trenton, taking a leak standing up, where he wanted the world to understand that Michelle Obama is not a man who had a sex change. Michelle Obama is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. And I have lots of evidence to substantiate that, including, of course, that Michelle has a package most women do not have, and that Michelle, after Barack was out of office, let her beard grow. And, you know, I have all this multiple places. If you go to Jim the Conspiracy Guy, look at fake news issues of identity, because I've included expose about Michelle Obama as well as Hillary and Joe's uses of body doubles. I mean, it's astonishing stuff. So if you want to learn, you know, the reality about how much we're being deceived and manipulated, that's not a bad place to visit.
Give that again, Jim. Your website on that.
Oh, JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. All one word, Jim the Conspiracy Guy.
But you also have JimFetzer.org, correct?
JamesFetzer.org is the blog.
Yes.
JamesFetzer.org.
Okay, great. Okay. Paul, are you still on? Paul? He had indicated he had to run. He may have had to cut short.
Yeah, I think he's had to depart, yes.
Okay, pick it up again, Joe?
Okay. Now, I think we're really hitting on something here that of reminding Jim Fetzer. Jim, some of these points, because they lend substantiation to what his premise is that the military is in control. And isn't this not what Scott Bennett is talking about, Jim?
Well, I believe Scott's in agreement with me on this. We do a weekly show together called Truth Versus News, and you know, I believe Scott and I are on the same page with all these issues. He actually went back to Washington and worked with some of these very prominent figures in doing their best to expose the corruption, the theft of the election. But where the courts failed them, the media, of course, were allied against them, and where even the state legislatures were unable to act, even though they had the authority to override the election officials, including the governor and secretaries of state, where, you know, I mean, the evidence of the proof of the theft is simply monstrous and overwhelming. Anyone who'd like to catch up should just review the Texas lawsuit on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, where there's a masterful summation of how the states of Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin violated their own laws and thereby produced illegitimate electoral results, and where Pennsylvania was egregious to the extent that Associate Justice Alito had instructed that any ballots received after 8 p.m. on the 3rd, the day of the election, must be set aside and not mixed with the other ballots, which they ignored and went ahead and did, even though the Supreme Court itself has actually ruled that ballots cast after 8 p.m. on election day are not to be counted. I mean, that's already a Supreme Court decision. So the offenses committed here have been egregious, and where it appears the Chief Justice of the United States is severely compromised, where Lynn Wood, who's an expert in the area of defamation and would not make such an assertion were he not 100% convinced and had the evidence, the proof in hand, has reported that a conversation occurred between the Chief Justice and Associate Justice Stephen Breyer, where they were talking about how to manipulate the outcome of any legal issues involving the vote. And the Chief Justice said to Breyer, "I'll make sure that mother effer doesn't get reelected," which in my judgment not only disqualifies him from sitting on any election issue, but from being a member of the Supreme Court of the United States at all.
Expand upon that, if you can, a little bit for the audience, Jim.
Well, the Chief Justice has shown he's adamantly opposed to Donald Trump. We have Lynn Wood tweeting a conversation that was overheard. I mean, this suggests to me that the court is bugged, to be frank about it. Where the Chief Justice is declaring that he's going to make sure that mother effer, I mean, he spelled it all out, doesn't get reelected. And where Lynn Wood has also revealed that, of course, the Chief Justice appears to have been compromised by Jeffrey Epstein, that he's flown on his plane. He adopted two children out of Wales with the assistance of Jeffrey Epstein. And there seems to be a fear that the Chief Justice is using these children he adopted as kinds of honeypots to compromise others. I mean, it's a pretty disgusting story to think that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court should be of this character is just dumbfounding.
Well, it expands upon the idea started by Roy Cohn of how to compromise people to gain the power. And this situation that you're talking about, where the Chief Justice has his own little concubine that he compromises other people, that means he's a game player par excellence.
Yes, yes, and of course, who better of all the officials of the United States to compromise than the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? I mean, that's quite a coup. But unfortunately, it appears to be the case, and I certainly have complete trust in Lynn Wood's reports about this matter, which I am certain would not occur were he not 100% on top of this.
Could you give a quick background on Lynn Wood so that the audience knows who he is?
Well, Lynn Wood was one of our nation's most prominent attorneys. He's been involved in several high-profile cases, such as, the Catholic boy in Washington who was taunted by the Native American drummer. He won a very large lawsuit. He's representing Kyle Rittenhouse, who is this very fine young man in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where Kyle Rittenhouse was there. He was armed. He was assisting, citizens and functioning as a medic when he was attacked by three thugs with Antifa and BLM who were trying to kill him, swinging skateboards at his head. One of them had a gun in his hand. Kyle defended himself and killed two of them in self-defense and wounded the third, who observed to a friend of his when he was leaving the hospital that his only regret was that he didn't unload on him with all the rounds in his handgun. I mean, there's a district attorney there who appears to be one of the George Soros beneficiaries, where Soros has spent millions and millions to infiltrate the legal system of prominent communities across the country with people who are really there to undermine the legal system, has sought to prosecute Kyle for murder, which is completely absurd. It was clearly self-defense. And Lynn Wood, among his other activities, is defending him. But he's also become very much involved, in exposing what happened here during this last election with a massive theft.
So Lynn Wood would be one person that the audience could tune into on his tweets. I'm sure that he tweets.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely, 100%, yeah. No. And he's tweeted about the Chief Justice, and it's just stunning stuff.
Give the spelling of Lynn, because it's not L-Y-N. Isn't it L-I-N?
Yeah, it's Linwood. He uses a first initial, L, Lynn, Lin, Wood, Wood. Yeah, you can find him on Twitter. Very active.
That would be a good way to for the audience to follow what you have spoken about what's going on. And you and I should include Scott of what's going on in Washington, D.C. with the statement. I love that statement. Biden, China Joe, you can't enter into this property called the Pentagon. Out.
Well, there's so much going on these days. It's truly fascinating. I think we probably overwhelmed our audience with all of this information today. So my suggestion would be, Let's call it a show, and thank everyone for tuning in, and then we'll be back with more developments as they occur.
Okay, before we cut off here, I want to go into one more thing. The vaccinations and these ATM machines that are being reported around the country being shut down. I personally even tried bank card, it wouldn't work. I went to another machine, wouldn't work. Someone says the machine's not working. Go to another one, a quick trip, they said the machine's not working. I tried mine, it didn't work. Someone else tried theirs, didn't work. Anyway, but you can still use it to buy gas or whatever. But that's the point. Now, I was talking to Joe about this, and he said he's hearing the same thing. So let's just pick this up and end it in 5 minutes. Joe?
Well, it's just what you said.
Okay, now,
yeah, there are some people that I walked up to the ATM machine, they said that's not giving any money.
And Professor Paul had the same problem, and that's one of the reasons I want him on, besides other reasons, but he had to cut short. But could this be that they're taking cash out of circulation, folks? I had to go to the bank, drive quite a distance to go to the bank, and a whole bit, to get cash from the, regular bank, because the ATM didn't work. And I stopped at their ATM to see if it would work in the same place I just withdrew cash from the teller, and their ATM didn't work. Now, what's going on? Could it be that they're going to say, oh, we've discovered that the coronavirus is spread by money, cash. Who? Don't use cash. Use your bank card. Precursor to the vaccination that Joe has said, what? One day you go to the pay at the grocery store and you go to swipe your card and you say, sir, those don't work anymore. Did you get your vaccination? No. Well, you're going to have to go get your vaccination in order to buy or sell. Jim, you got any comment on that?
No, I think you're right. In this part of the Great Reset, they want to make all currency digital, and they're using the coronavirus for all kinds of improper purposes. We have a priest in Rome who's just released a really devastating 10-minute briefing on the pandemic and how it's horrific, and you have a tiny number of very powerful people who are trying to take control of the entire planet Earth and using this coronavirus as a cover, and that he's warning too to avoid the coronavirus vaccine at all costs, that it's not the first but the second shot that will kill you. And I'm receiving all kinds of reports about persons in nursing homes and so forth, long-term care facilities, who were perfectly healthy until they took the shot, and now they're dropping like flies. It appears even Hank Aaron, Hammering Hank, who beat Babe Ruth's home run record, actually took the coronavirus vaccine as a publicity stunt, and he has died from it. So be warned, beware, do everything you can to avoid taking the shot. And there are various legal moves you can make to avoid it, where it turns out that it has, the vaccine has aborted fetal cell tissue in it. So if you ask, does this have aborted fetal cell tissue in it? And they, of course, answer yes, because they all do. Then you can decline to take the shot on that basis. I think it's extremely dangerous and part of this monstrous plan that I only hope Trump can, in fact, defeat when he is restored to office, as I believe will happen potentially on the 4th of March, which was the original date of inauguration under the Constitution of 1776, which I believe we will be operating under for the future.
Okay, real quick.
Very good points, Jim. Very important points. I hope the audience really paid attention to that.
Now, another thing, Joe, real quick on the vaccinations. Talk about the proteins to the audience real quick.
Okay, very quickly. Part of the process is that when you take the vaccine, it produces proteins. The proteins then cause the immune system to go after them, and then they savage the internal organs.
And you're dead in 36 to 42 months, according to a scientist that has tested all the vaccinations, and I tried to save the video and couldn't do it. Now, I was in an attorney's office, and I said, you know, can they force vaccination on us? I said, no. I said, well, I got a father in a nursing home. What about old people like that? I said, no, that's strictly volunteer basis. I asked him. They all would be up to him. I had this meeting. Go ahead, Joe.
I think we can start bringing, as Jim has said, I think we need to start shutting down the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I am. Real quick, I was in the attorney's office, and I asked him, because I was talking to him, you know, about these car crashes, attempted murders, all that. He says, dude, he says, there's no law on the books. He says that they can force you to take that vaccination. And he says, I have the same opinion of the vaccination as you do. And he said, that's my First Amendment right, number one, to speak out. And if they think they're going to come around and do something, that's what isn't going to happen. Now, he said, they come to my door to give me a vaccination. He said, I got a Second Amendment to the Constitution. And he says, I intend on using it. My own attorney's telling me this. And with that, you know what that sounds, Jim? They come to my door, you're done. With that said, gentlemen, I want to thank you both very much for being on with me, Jim Fetzer and Professor Paul.
Great points, Jim.
Thanks. Good to join you guys.
Thank you both.
All right.
Thank you both very much. Have a good day.
Bye.